This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now we go into the book of Taraweeh. We're going to summarize this section over here. Salatul Taraweeh.
This one is 42.
Chapter 42. Fantastic. Jazakallahu khair. Fantastic. So whoever died and he ought to have observed Sawm, can somebody else observe fast for him instead? Al-Hasan said, if 30 men observe fast one day on his behalf, then it will be sufficient. Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah's Messenger said, whoever died and he ought to have observed fast then and missed the fast of Ramadan, then his guardians must observe fasting on his behalf. His guardians must observe fasting on his behalf. So that was what we were talking about. Now we get into the book of... Yes.
So what about the sacred, like my mom, she sometimes nowadays even she forgot to take her medicine.
Yeah.
So during the Ramadan, like if she skipped fasting, so feed poor for one day. So is it like after Ramadan?
Did you catch the discussion or did you just walk in?
No. I heard that.
Okay.
So is feed the people, like how I calculate the feed poor people like one day? Like one meal or females?
No, it's one meal per day. One meal per day. So what I would actually advise is that find a masjid that does iftar and just, you know, sponsor like one iftar day. So, you only have to feed 30 people.
It's not necessary poor, right?
No, it's not necessary to be from the poor. It's not necessary to be from the poor. It can be anyone. But you just have to feed 30 people, yeah. Okay. It's better to be, if it is from the poor, obviously, but it doesn't have to be from the poor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Taib, the book of Taraweeh. Let's summarize this section over here. Taraweeh is a synonym for tahajjud. It is a synonym for qiyamul layl, right? Certain madhahib do differentiate between the three. However, from the aspect of the sunnah, they generally seem to be the same. The only difference being, do you actually sleep before or not? But does it affect the prayer itself? It does not. So now, the Prophet ﷺ, in the month of Ramadan, he prayed with his companions for two nights. And then on the third night, he did not pray with them. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah, why did you not pray with us? He said, I fear that it would become an obligation upon you. During the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, what is authentically established, he appointed Ubay ibn Ka'b to lead the people in salah. What is differed over is the actual number of rak'ahs that they prayed. You find some of the scholars of hadith argue that they prayed 8, 11 or 13. You find the scholars of the madhahib, they argue that they prayed 20 or more. What is the foundation in terms of Salatul Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl and Tahajjud? Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, the Prophet ﷺ never prayed 11 or 13, more than 11 or 13 rak'ahs inside of Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. What is the point over here? Is it the number that is focused on or is it the quality that is focused on? It is the quality that is focused on. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said, I prayed with the Prophet ﷺ Qiyamul Layl. We read Surah Al-Baqarah, we read Surah Al-Nisa, we read Surah Al-Imran. Another narration, after Surah Al-Imran, we read Al-Ma'idah and Al-An'am as well. That's like 8 juz in one night, right? So that's like the type of prayer that the Prophet ﷺ is praying. So now, what should we do? We should do what we are actually capable of. So if you're praying by yourself, elongate it as much as you can. Elongate it as much as you can. If you're praying in the congregation, pray with the congregation as long as you can. There is this big misconception in the community that, you know what, I can leave after 8 rak'ahs. This misconception is based upon misunderstanding of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The Prophet ﷺ prayed long rak'ahs, that's why they were few in number. There is an extra ajr of praying with the imam from the beginning to the end. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that whoever prays with the imam from the beginning to the end, he will get the reward of praying the whole night. So if your imam is praying 8, pray 8 with him. If your imam is praying 11, pray 11 with him. If your imam is praying 20, pray 20 with him. Realistically, if you're from like Tunisia or Libya or a Maliki country where they may even be praying 36, pray 36 with them. You want to get the ajr of praying the whole entire night. That is what you get with praying with your imam. Now, can a person be selective? So for example, I know over here they're praying 11, but if I go to the Northwest Musalla, they're praying 20. So what I would suggest is, be selective only on certain days. It is encouraged to pray in your local mosque. So pray in your local mosque as much as you can, or if you have a reason to be somewhere else, you can pray there. Yet you'll notice on certain days, you're extremely tired, you have to go to work early, then you can take the concession, go to another masjid. But the asal should be that you're praying in your local masjid. The asal should be that you're praying in your local masjid. Last point I want to mention over here, Is it something that's worth fighting over? I hope you understood. No. It should not even be a topic of discussion. If Sajjad wants to pray 20, I want to pray 8, he wants to pray 36, we're all within the realm of acceptability. There's nothing wrong with that. The only issue that comes into play is the issue of the witr prayer, and that's like a bit of a separate issue. The witr prayer should be the last prayer of the night. So if you're going to pray your witr prayer in congregation, you should not be praying any more prayers after that. You sleep all the way until Fajr at that time. However, if you happen to wake up and there's a lot of time and you want to pray, then you have to make up that witr prayer again at the end. You have to make up that witr prayer at the end again. Some of the scholars even mentioned that you have to pray another one rak'ah to make it even first, then you pray your qiyamul layl, and then you pray your witr on top of that. To avoid all of this ikhtilaf, make it very easy upon yourself. Leave your witr prayer to literally just before your suhoor time. Pray your witr, have your suhoor, go for fajr. That is the best thing to do if you're able to. If you want to, or if you know that you're not going to pray anymore at night, pray your witr in congregation, and there's nothing wrong with that as well. One second. The last thing I'll mention is the dhikr that is said after the witr prayer. A lot of people, after they finish praying their witr, they will say, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. This is only said after the fard prayer. It's not said after the witr prayer. The Prophet specifically taught us to say, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Subhan al-Malik al-Quddus, Rabb al-Malaikati wa-Ruh. You'll find this in Hisn al-Muslim. That is what should be said after the witr prayer. Go ahead.
First Eid al-Fitr is nice and like, you know, you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Then the rest of the 12, whatever it is, it's just so rushed and it just feels like a chore. You're just standing. You know what I mean? You have no khushu or anything like that.
Right.
Do you recommend staying in this situation?
Stay, because the hadith is explicit. That whoever prays with the imam from beginning to end, he gets the reward of praying the whole night. But that is a valid excuse not to pray in that musalla anymore, by the way. So if you find a place that prays better and you have more khushu, it's better for you to go there. Go ahead.
If in the scenario that you decide to pray some extra during the night,
yes. Fantastic question. Yes.
Because I haven't memorized all of it.
Very good question. Yes, the answer to that is, in your fard prayers, you're not allowed holding the Quran or the Mus'haf to recite from it. However, in your sunnah and your nafil prayers, which Taraweeh is from, you can hold the Mus'haf and read from it. So what should you do? You can hold it in your hands, there's nothing wrong with it. You can put the bookmark in it when you have to close it, when you're going down for ruku' and for sajda. You can fold the page, you can keep your finger inside the Mus'haf, whatever is easier for you. People think, what if I'm going down for sajda and the Qur'an touches the floor? Your intention over here is not to disrespect the Qur'an. However, if you have one of those folding tables in front of you like we have over there, it is better to put the mus'haf on that when you go down for sajda so that the Qur'an does not touch the floor. And this would be considered ta'zeem of the sha'irillah, which is very, very good. So it's a very good question. Jazakallah khair. Yeah.
Is there any specific amount of ajza or verses? Like for example, when I used to live in the Northeast, some of the masajid there, when they prayed Taraweeh, was maybe like two or three ayahs.
Right, right.
You know, and it was very rushed, you know, and then everything is over in an hour or so. And in other masajid, they're very slow in their qiraas. You know, they might recite just a half a night.
Right.
So obviously, not everyone can stay for just a half.
Right.
You know, and some people want to stay more than two or three ayat per quran.
Right.
What is there?
You establish your own congregation where you establish the middle prayer. So I am being serious. No one says you have to pray Taraweeh in Jama'ah.
Yes.
No one says you have to do that. But let me explain this. So now we have the hadith of Jibreel radiallahu anhu, the hadith of Jibreel where the Prophet sallam used to complete the Quran with Jibreel every Ramadan. So the scholars use this as a proof that the Quran should be completed every Ramadan. Some of the scholars took this hadith and said that the Quran should be completed in Salatul Taraweeh. Is this mandatory to do? No one has ever said that it is mandatory. It is a good thing to do. Yes, it is a very good thing to do. However, the asal in Salatul Jama'ah is that it should be easy for the people. So now, where do people get the three verses, the three ayat from? That, you know, the minimum that you should read is three ayat in a rak'ah. They said that the shortest surah in the Qur'an is three verses, and therefore the least amount of Qur'an you should recite after Fatiha, if you're going to recite, is the three ayat. That is why they have the three ayat. That's where it comes from. Is there a recommended amount? There's no particular recommended amount, But you should know your congregation and you should know your circumstance. You know, to try to finish a juz and a half every single night in the summertime, I think is abusive from two aspects. Number one, you're going to abuse the people. And greater than that, you're going to abuse the Qur'an. Because the only way you're going to read a juz and a half every single night in Ramadan in Salatul Taraweeh is if you're literally zooming through it. And subhanAllah, there's so many videos that like, you have the Turkish imam, if for those of you that saw it. They literally beat him up for how fast he was reciting, right? That's how bad it was. There's another video I have of a subcontinental imam. I'm not going to mention the country because someone might find it offensive. But literally, this guy is reciting so fast that even in slow motion, I couldn't make out what surah he was reading. And only when he said, "Waladdaleen," at the end, that's when I forgot it was the surah al-Fatiha. It shouldn't be like that, right? You shouldn't abuse the Qur'an. The point of Taraweeh is not to finish the Qur'an. The point of Taraweeh is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person reads one page and a rak'ah, that's perfectly fine. Half a page, that's perfectly fine. If your congregation can do more than that, that's perfectly fine. But keep the congregation in mind. We should not be keeping them up all night so that they're unable to pray fajr and they're not able to fast properly and they're skipping work and they're lackadaisical at work. Ramadan is a way of life. It's not just, you know, an act of ibadah in of itself, right? So it shouldn't change the way that you act. In fact, Ramadan was the month that the companions fought battles in. It was the month that they strived extra hard in, right? You were not meant to become lazy in Ramadan. So if you're staying up extra late and it's preventing you, then you shouldn't do it. So now, if you find a place that prays accommodating to your schedule, that's perfectly fine. I don't see anything wrong with that. But the Qur'an and the people should not be abused. The Qur'an and the people should not be abused. The last section of Taraweeh is the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr is obviously a topic that is differed upon. What we know for a fact that it is in the last 10 nights. The majority of the predecessors, they assumed it to be on the 27th night. However, there is a valid difference of opinion on two things. Number one, is Laylatul Qadr the same night every single year? And number two, is the fact that Laylatul Qadr, it can be any of the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and it has any of the last 10 odd nights of Ramadan, and not necessarily the 27th. So what you want to focus on is that yes, focus on the 27th night, pay a little bit extra attention, but you should be giving that extra attention to all of the odd last 10 nights. Particularly in the last 10 nights, pay extra attention to your ibadah in reading Quran, making dua, doing dhikr, than you would in the first 20 days of Ramadan. Now the last section we will be covering, and please excuse me, I know we've gone over our time, is the book of i'tikaf. The book of i'tikaf. I'tikaf is something that is recommended to do so. The Prophet ﷺ used to keep the last 10 nights as i'tikaf in the masjid, and in the last year before his death, he kept 20 nights of i'tikaf in the masjid. So what this shows us is that you can keep i'tikaf outside of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It is permissible to do so. So how do you decide where you can keep i'tikaf? I'tikaf can be kept in any masjid that offers the Jummah prayers. I'tikaf is kept in any masjid that offers the Jummah prayers. In our day and age, the masjid is more than a masjid. So you'll find a masjid will have a kitchen, it will have an office, it'll have a library, it'll have a whole bunch of things. So the part where you want to stay at is the part where the salah is actually prayed. The salah was actually prayed. You can go to other places if there is a need for you to do so. For example, you need to take a shower, then yes, you can go take a shower, whether it be in the masjid or somewhere else, but you need to come back right away. You're in the masjid, there's no food whatsoever, you're really hungry. You can leave the masjid, go and get some food and come back. You can go and get some food and come back. What should not be done is that itikaf cannot be made in one's houses. So there's an opinion from one of the madhahib, and I feel bad that we like really abuse this madhab, subhanAllah, but it's the reality of the fact that the Hanafi madhab did allow women to make itikaf in their houses. But there's no proof for this. And it's not something that should be laughed at. I know it's a natural laugh. But it's not something that should be done. There's no proof for this whatsoever. The Prophet allowed the itikaf in the masjid only. Likewise, how about if you're making itikaf in a place that doesn't have Jummah prayer? You cannot make itikaf in that prayer place either. Now there's a difference of opinion. What if that property is not owned and is only rented? Does that still qualify as a masjid? As a modern day circumstance, I believe yes, it still applies as a masjid. In the past, masajid were awqaf. They were considered a waqf for the community. In this day and age, as long as there is Jummah prayer and the five daily prayers, then it would be considered a masjid and it is permissible to make itikaf. And yes, it can be done any nights of Ramadan. It should particularly be done in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And what if you cannot do the whole of the last 10 nights. Can you just do some of the nights? Yes, you can do just some of the nights. What if you can only do a portion of the night? Can you do just a portion of the night? Yes, you just do a portion of the night, but it should be done properly. That portion of the night, you shut off your cell phone, you're not checking your emails, you're not checking your internet, no text messages, completely dedicating it to ibadah, reading Quran, making dhikr, praying, learning, attending halaqat, whatever is going on. That is what you should be doing in the book of i'tikaf. When does it start from? It starts from the night of the 21st. It starts from the night of the 21st all the way till the end of Ramadan, till the announcement of Eid is made. Allahu a'lam. Now, questions on i'tikaf or tarawih. Go ahead.
For i'tikaf, let's yeah. say you need to work from
yes.
this, 8 to 6.
Yes.
Can you go for work and then after work go back to masjid and get i'tikaf?
This would not be considered a complete i'tikaf, this would be considered partial i'tikaf.
Partial, but I mean,
that's still valid. Yeah, like I said, you can even keep a portion of i'tikaf, that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
But the special reward you get for keeping i'tikaf for the last 10 nights, it wouldn't apply to this person.
So if, would you recommend that if they have a flexible schedule, that they take the last 10 nights?
If they're planning on making i'tikaf, yes, they should do that. Allahu a'lam. Go ahead.
So I know i'tikaf, like we do it nowadays, it's overnight, but to do it like between two salahs, something like that, and just staying in the masjid and... Is that okay? Like
that yeah, that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly fine, inshallah.
And the question was all the way.
Yeah.
Like when the imam is done his prayer,
yeah.
and he's in the tashahud, you can get up and like do another rak'ah, and then so you can pray later on in the night if you're going to be. Like,
yes, you can do that. That's perfectly fine. That's a very good point. So when we were talking about the witr prayer, so if a person knows that he's going to pray after the imam has finished his witr prayer, then he does not make salams with the imam in the witr prayer, but rather he gets up and does one more rak'ah, makes his own salam, and then he can continue praying. Jazakallah khair for that.
Also, I heard there's an opinion that witr actually does not have to be the last salah. Like if you pray witr, like let's say like Umar Khattab, I think he used to pray witr before going to sleep, and then he used to wake up, because he knew like sometimes he didn't, like just so he could get the ajr of praying, like qiyam al-layl or something like that. So he used to pray witr, and then if he would wake up, he would pray like 4 rak'ahs, 6 rak'ahs, 8 rak'ahs.
So it's not prohibited to... It's not prohibited to do so, but it's not recommended to do so. The Prophet ﷺ clearly said, make the witr prayer the last prayer of the night. Now that's an explicit text. As far as I know, there's no difference of opinion. So with the action of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, is that he feared that he wouldn't be able to wake up, and that is why he prayed his witr prayer. He woke up and then he prayed other prayers, but then he would pray his witr prayer again. So that's the exception to our discussion. It's not the general rule. Wallahu a'lam. Anything else? You're just stretching?
Yeah. Okay. So that means you can pray witr two times? Like if you
Yeah, so you're going to pray witr a second time, but like I said, the scholars actually said you have to cancel out your first witr prayer by praying an extra rak'ah to make it even, and then you'll pray the witr prayer at the end of the night.
Okay.
Wallahu a'lam. Khair? Go ahead, Furqan.
Sorry, the witr prayer is still a head scratcher to me. Like, so pretty much after you finish the dua and everything, after you give salams, we get up, that's it.
If you know you're going to pray again.
Okay.
Only if you know you're going to pray again.
Okay.
If you're not sure, then you make salams with the imam, and that's perfectly fine.
Okay.
Allahu a'lam. Go ahead.
Making qunut or Ramadan.
Yes.
Tarawih. This was part of the sunnah.
So, I mean, that's an interesting discussion. The Shafi'i Madhab, they considered it only in the last 15 nights, or only in the last 10 nights, and it wasn't every single night. Something that we know for sure is that qunut should not be made every single night, because the Prophet ﷺ did skip qunut on certain nights. So it is a part of the witr prayer, but it shouldn't be done every single night, just so that people don't think it's obligatory. Number two is that the Prophet ﷺ used to keep the dua of qunut very, very short, you know, from Allahumma ahdina fiman hadait, all the way till the end, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. That was the dua of qunut. Adding on everything extra is permissible to do so, but it should not be prolonged. Like, you know, certain qunut du'as are like 30 minutes long. Yeah, that's like very excessive. Keep it short and simple to the point, and it shouldn't be done every single night. Allahu a'lam. Go ahead.
This is another question on qunut.
Yeah.
You know the people who follow the method, that it should be done in fajr.
Yes.
Fajr.
Yeah.
Like praying behind them.
That's perfectly fine. It's a difference of fiqh. It's not a major issue. Allahu a'lam. Going once, going twice. Allahu Akbar. Two, three hands went up. These are the last three questions. Let's start off from here.
So raising the hand for
qunut.
Yeah. Before going to, no, I'm talking about raising
Oh, so they, okay. So how should the witr prayer be prayed? Let's do that quickly. So according to the sunnah, there's two ways that the Prophet taught us to pray witr. Way number one is that you will pray two rak'ahs by two rak'ahs, and you'll make salam with after each of the two rak'ahs. So for example, witr can be prayed 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, as much as you want, right? So in that situation, you pray two rak'ahs by two rak'ahs by two rak'ahs, making salam after each of them. The other way of doing it is that you will pray all of those prayers, meaning 3, 5, 7, and not have the jalsat in them, except for the last one. So you won't sit for tashahud. You will not sit for tashahud. Those are the two ways that we've been taught according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet explicitly told us, do not make your witr prayers like maghrib. Do not make your witr prayers like maghrib. So maghrib generally is, maghrib is three rak'ahs, and witr generally speaking will also be three rak'ahs. The Prophet used to pray, Sabbih isma rabbika al-a'la, qul ya ayyuhal kafirun, and qul huwallahu ahad in the three rak'ahs. So you can either do way number one or way number two. In the Hanafi madhab, they do it a bit differently. In order to be different from Salatul Maghrib, what they do is, after the second rak'ah, when they get up, they will recite Suratul Fatiha, then will do the takbirah, and then they will do their own qunut at that time, which is a silent qunut, right? So that is how the Hanafi madhab prays. This prayer, while it may be valid, is not according to the sunnah. So if you're going to be praying, try to pray according to the first two ways. If you're praying in congregation, that is how your imam is praying, then that's perfectly fine, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But that extra takbirah is not from the sunnah, but it is justified because they want to make it different from maghrib. Because they want to make it different from maghrib. Wallahu a'lam. Sajjad? Yes, I would believe that it defeats the purpose if you have internet on it. So if you're checking your emails, you're checking Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, it defeats the purpose of it. It's meant to be seclusion. However, if you're using your phone to recite Quran, using it as an alarm clock, then for that purpose it's perfectly fine. Wallahu a'lam.
Islamic cultures, are they okay?
Yeah, that's fine. If that's what you're using it for.
To watch Naman Ali
Khan. That's perfectly fine. But that literally is what you should be using it for. Like nothing else. Last question for the night. Yes.
If she want to make a siyam for 30 days of Ramadan.
Yes.
So should be successive?
No, it doesn't have to be successive. It can be made up any way that is easy for her, inshallah. Yeah. Khair, we'll conclude with that. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan for your attention. Inshallah, the halaqat will resume after Ramadan. If you guys have any suggestions in terms of what you would like to see at the halaqas, please let me know. Some short announcements. Friday halaqa this week at Edmonton Trail is going to be how to have a nutritious and healthy Ramadan with myself and a professional doctor, a general practitioner. So if you're interested in getting more guidelines on that, you can attend Friday night. It's at 8:30 at Edmonton Trail. Saturday is a jam-packed day. We have a lot of events going on. From 12 to 2, we have the domestic violence workshop, which is at the Sheraton Cavalier Hotel with myself and Sister Nadia Ramadan, registered psychologist and a social worker. Then from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., we have the drop-in center where we'll be serving food to the homeless. You need to register for that because we can't take more people than we're allowed. So if you're interested, drop me an email or drop Qabilat Nasr an email. Then from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. we have the Zakah workshop with Sheikh Hassan Shaybani at Edmonton Trail. So that's 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So it's a jam-packed Saturday. Try to make the most of it as you can, inshallah. This will probably be the last Saturday before Ramadan, I believe. Possibly, yeah. Probably the last Saturday before Ramadan.
Ramadan is the 18th?
17th or 18th. So anything you need to get done, grocery shopping, all that stuff, Sunday is your day to do it. Don't wait till Ramadan starts. One, everything will be gone. Two, you don't want to spend your Ramadan like that, particularly the first couple of days. May Allah accept our praying and our fasting and our du'as and make us of those people that attain taqwa in Ramadan and make us of those people that Allah accepts from. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.